All right, welcome back to Whence Came You, a Freemasonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. I'm your host, Brother Robert Johnson. This is episode 149. Well, in the news this week, I should be having Joseph James on the show soon with some new developments in the movie The Freemason. I'm hoping to get with him this upcoming week so that we can have that featured in a new episode coming up really soon. As you may have seen, if you do follow Joseph James on Facebook or on Twitter, he is going to be, as he announced, on Juan Sepulveda's show yet again. And also, he will be interviewed by Greg from the Traveling Mason blog. Also, next year, I will be very busy with my lodge, so I will most likely not be doing as many presentations. So if that is something that you are interested in, please get in contact with me as soon as possible so that we can make arrangements for that. And with that, I'd like to just get right into this week's first piece, and it's called The Crusades and Freemasonry. So, The Crusades and Freemasonry by Brother Albert S. Hoven, Past District Deputy Grand Master. It does look like the date is in an odd format, so I'm going to assume this is for May 28th, 1983. The Crusades have no relation to Freemasonry, even though there are concordant bodies which base their rituals on the Crusades, and have taken the name of the original Crusaders, the Knights Templar. Among the historic Crusaders, there were, in fact, two groups, the first being the Religious Order of the Hospital of St. John of Jerusalem, and later, the Order of the Knights Templar. In this area of discipline and administration, both orders were military. The Religious Order of the Hospital of St. John of Jerusalem started with the establishment of a small hospital or hospice in Jerusalem to treat pilgrims visiting the Holy City early in the 6th century AD. This hospice existed for 400 years until it was destroyed by the Caliph al-Hakim. His method of converting Christians to the Muslim faith was by the sword. With the help of the pious merchants, and the hospice was rebuilt. The new hospital was served by a body of men who formed themselves into a brotherhood pledged to, if protect the poor, the infirm, and the stricken. This brotherhood was to become known as the Religious Order of the Hospital of St. John. It had been established only a few years when the Turcomans occupied Jerusalem and barred the pilgrims from the Holy Sepulchre, and treated them with great cruelty. This led to the beginning of the Crusades and the recapture of the city on July 12th, 1099. 20 years after the fall of Jerusalem, a small group of knights set themselves the task of defending the routes taken by the pilgrims leading from Jaffa to Jerusalem. They formed themselves into a new religious fraternity and, forsaking the world of knightly chivalry, quote, of which human favor and not Jesus Christ was the cause, end quote. They bound themselves to the rules of the Benedictines. Initially, they were known as the Poor Fellow Soldiers of Jesus Christ, and in consequence of the service they rendered to Christians, King Baldwin II allocated them part of the royal palace south of the Temple of the Lord and the large courtyard between that and the former site of the Temple of King Solomon. Thenceforth, the order was known as the Knighthood of the Temple of King Solomon, or the Knights Templar. Hugh de Payens was chosen first master of the Templars in 1127. He journeyed to Europe and secured the support of St. Bernard, Abbot of Clairvaux, who prepared a code of statutes for proper government and control of the military and religious activities of the Templar order. The order prospered and grew in strength, and after confirmations of their statutes by a papal bull, they developed into a rich and widely known international order. It was wealth that brought the end of the Knights Templar. King Philip of France coveted the riches and land of the Knight Templar, and to obtain them he conducted a campaign of rumors and accusations against Jacques de Molay, who was the Grand Master, and his officers. After a cruel inquisition, those who had survived it so far, along with Jacques de Molay, were burnt at the stake, and the order was disbanded by the Pope. After an existence of less than 100 years, the Order of St. John of Jerusalem prospered and grew. The knights moved from Palestine to Cyprus, were chased out of Cyprus, and went to Rhodes. They were again beaten by the Turks, and were without a home until the Pope used his influence to persuade the German Emperor Charles V to transfer the island of Malta to the order. There they remained until Malta was overrun by Napoleon. The Order of the Hospital of St. John of Jerusalem was disbanded in England by Henry VIII. 300 years later, Queen Victoria restored it under the name of the Most Venerable Order of the Hospital of St. John of Jerusalem, of which Queen Elizabeth XI is the present sovereign head. The ideals nurtured by the knights of old are as fresh today as then. For the men and women of St. John Ambulance Brigade, a foundation of the order which came into being in 1877, are indeed as dedicated to the care of the sick and injured as were the hospitallers of former times. It was in Malta, where many knights were initiated into Freemasonry. In an endeavor to stop the spread of Freemasonry in Malta, the Grand Master of the Order banned 6 knights from the island, but meetings were known to have still taken place. Even though the Knights of St. John continued to patronize Masonry, no proof exists that the Order was in any way connected with Freemasonry. Editor's note, no bibliography is available for this paper. Alright, that was kind of a cool paper. The most interesting part to me of that paper was, of course, the ending where he said that the Order had banned 6 knights from the island, presumably for having been Freemasons. Anyway, that paper will be available in its entirety to our app subscribers via PDF. How do you get the app? How do you get those PDFs? Well, of course, that is one of the ways you can support the show, via the app. Now, the app is a streaming version of the show, which you download, and you can stream any episode you want. At any time, you can even download them, mark your favorites. It's not very different, to be honest with you, than just opening it up in your podcast app on your iPhone or by using Stitcher Smart Radio on Android or something like that, right? But the main difference is when you purchase the app, the thing that you get are the bonus features, which are in each episode as like extra content. You can think of it like Easter eggs on DVDs. Primarily, what we will do is we will put the PDF of any paper that we read on the show right in the app so that you can download it and you can send it. You could read it to your friends. You can read it in the lodge. You can read it yourself. Whatever you want to do with it. Secondly, as a bonus feature, we also include Masonically themed wallpapers for your mobile devices. So the apps are available for the Windows 8 operating system phones, for any Apple device, and any Android device. Now, if you are on Apple, there is a special sort of way you go to get it, which is through a app called Podcast Box. And if you're on Android, it is available in the Amazon Marketplace App Store. And of course, there are other ways to support the show as well. The most popular way is via PayPal donations, which is quick and easy, and of course, you pick the amount. So if you visit our website, www.wcypodcast.com, you will see a link at the top that says support the show. You can click that, and you can click the PayPal button, and it sends a PayPal donation, whatever you choose to donate, right to the show. PayPal takes a minuscule portion, as they always do. That's how they make money. But if you donate, say, $10, we see $9.80 at least, usually. So that all comes back right into the show, and it stays there. I don't spend it on anything unless it is directly attributed to this show. So if we need new equipment, or if we need bandwidth, whatever it's going to be, that's where that money goes. And of course, we have affiliates. Most everybody has affiliates these days. We chose 2. The first one that I did ever was Onnit.com, which has a lot of healthy living supplements. They have their flagship product, Alpha Brain, which is an incredible nootropic vitamin that basically increases your focus and your power. There's no caffeine or sugar in these things. Everything is all natural. Another product they have is Hemp Force Protein, which is an amazing protein powder that tastes amazing. They've got kettlebells, battle ropes, immunity supplements, all around amazing stuff. And if you do any shopping there, you just visit our website, wcypodcast.com, click the Onnit link. When you complete your shopping at checkout, you're going to put in the coupon code WCY, and they'll give you 10% off. And next, my favorite affiliate is FreemasonryArt.com. This is, of course, run by Brother Juan Sepulveda of the Winding Stairs podcast, WindingStairs.com. And what he does is he is a fine artist, and that is his day job. He puts together amazing fine art prints that are Masonic. He has other stuff that isn't Masonic, but for FreemasonryArt.com, that is primarily what he has up. He also sells amazing handmade aprons. He can put artwork, original artwork on them. I've seen it firsthand. Just amazing stuff. In fact, Brother Brian Shimian of the Midnight Freemasons bought one, and he wore it to Lodge when he came to visit, and it is an incredible piece of artwork, and just a really nice apron altogether. It's a great traveling apron. So if you decide to check anything out there, you can go to FreemasonryArt.com, and at checkout, again, use the promo code WCY. 2 things that does. The first thing is it gives you 10% off, and the second thing it does is it sends a little bit of the sale back to whence came you. Again, all proceeds go right back into the show. So the next piece that I have for you is called It Is Great to Be a Freemason. And it's by Danny Thomas, 33rd degree. It's from the October 1990 Fresno Scottish Rite Bulletin, with credits to the Kansas Masonic Bulletin. It is great to be a Freemason. The years found me an admirer of the great work the Masonic Order has been doing in making this world a better place for all of us to live. I have for a long time desired to be one of you, and rejoice now that I can proudly boast of my membership in one of the world's oldest, greatest fraternal associations. I am grateful for those individuals who have in quiet ways motivated me in my work on behalf of unfortunate children. I am grateful for the high moment in my life when the doors of Freemasonry were opened to me. Since then, I have had many pleasant times of fraternal fellowship and even opportunities for service in the work of many branches of Freemasonry. Our order, for now I can say, our order, teaches, quote-unquote, the brotherhood of man under the fatherhood of God. And this is great. The world needs so desperately to discover the value of this great truth in human relationships and world affairs. It is also a truth that will motivate men and women to continue to explore avenues of service and areas of common concerns in order to restore a measure of sanity to the madness of our day and to enrich the quality of life of all peoples everywhere. Now I join hands and heart with you in all your endeavors of philanthropy and say we must not slacken our efforts, quote unquote, to do good to all, especially those with needs that will not be met if we fail in our common task of service to humanity. On stage, screen, platform, and in a private life, I have always sought to bring a smile to the face of others and put a little joy in their lives. I am grateful now for the larger opportunity, which is mine, to adopt the tenets of Freemasonry as my own, and hopefully be able to have a small part in the spreading Masonry's message of love and caring to a larger audience. For wherever I go, I will be proud to tell others of my work and concern in behalf of all that you are doing, unselfishly, for others. Someone once asked me, why did I want to be a Mason? And my reply was, because Masons care for those who cannot care for themselves. The Shriners have always been a favorite of mine because of their work with poor crippled and burned children. Also, I am excited about efforts proposed to the recent Conference of Grand Masters in regard to drug abuse among young people. It is great to be a Freemason. I am proud of what we are doing. I shall assist in every way I can our work of mercy, and it doesn't hurt to be a brother with a big mouth and lots of television cameras to help get the message across. Masons are people of goodwill who want to keep our kids alive, and we are doing this throughout the world. Our purpose is noble and humanitarian. Our labors will be crowned with success, for as Freemasons, we will bring to our mission the best we have, regardless of what it demands from us, in the way of sacrifice and service. We will make sure that in the tomorrows, life will be better for those who suffer today. I was a Freemason in my heart long before I was accepted as a member in the Great Fraternity. I was an outsider, but now I am one of you, and the remaining years of my life will be spent in seeking in some small way to say to all, thank you for making me a Freemason. I want to always make you laugh, but I trust that I will also make you care, and that now, together, we will put melody in the heart of the world that will sing of a better life for all people. The task challenges us to larger efforts and higher goals that will demand from all of us the best we have to make a better life for others. My promise to Freemasons everywhere is that I will give the task my best. So as you can guess, the man who wrote that letter was actually a pretty famous comedian. Danny Thomas was an American nightclub comedian and a television and film actor, producer, and it spanned like 5 decades, and he was best known for starring in a television sitcom called Make Room for Daddy. It was also known as The Danny Thomas Show. Coincidentally, in all of his good works that he did, a lot of people don't know that the founder of the St. Jude's Children Research Hospital was a Mason, and of course, it is this gentleman, Danny Thomas. So moving on is a nice little segue. We went from famous Freemason who founded St. Jude's Children's Hospital and read a little letter that he wrote about Freemasonry. We're going to move into this week's famous Freemason, who is Frank S. Black. He was born on March 8, 1853, and he passed away March 22, 1913. He was an American newspaper editor, lawyer, and politician. He was a member of the United States House of Representatives from 1895 to 1897, and he was the 32nd governor of New York from 1897 to 1898. He was raised in King Solomon's Primitive Lodge No. 91 of Troy, New York, and later affiliated with Roman Lodge No. 223 at Rome, New York. he was born near Lymington, York County, Maine. He was one of 11 children of his father, Jacob, who was a farmer, and his mother, Charlotte. He graduated from Lebanon Academy in 1871 and then taught school for several years. With the money that he earned, he managed to enter Dartmouth College in 1875. Out of college, he moved to Johnstown, New York, and was employed as an editor of the Johnstown Journal. An ardent follower of James G. Blaine, also from Maine, Black changed the political stance of the paper while the Democratic owner was out of town, but was promptly dismissed upon the latter's return. He then moved to Troy, New York, and worked for the Troy Whig and the Troy Times. At the same time, he studied law, and he was admitted to the bar. Black was elected as a Republican to the 54th United States Congress as the representatives of New York's 19th Congressional District, and served from March 4, 1895 to January 7, 1897, when he resigned. He was governor of New York, elected in 1896 on the Republican ticket, and was in office from 1897 to 98. A major scandal on the Erie Canal commissions where one of Black's appointees had illegally spent $1 million put his re-election in doubt. Party leaders replaced him with war hero Theodore Roosevelt. Afterwards, he did end up resuming his law practice. And that's it for this week. Please remember to find us on Facebook and follow on Twitter at WhenceCameU. Remember, if you'd like to connect with me on Google Plus or the show on Google Plus, you can do that through the email address wcypodcast@gmail.com. The show is on Twitter. It's on MySpace. It's basically everywhere that's a social medium. So check us out at any one of those, all under that same email address. Please don't forget about the Midnight Freemasons, which is an amazing blog which has 3 new articles every single week, published on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Currently, we're publishing great posts on Mondays and Wednesdays, and on Fridays, I've got a series up called The Camp, exploring the Scottish Rite famous symbol. We are in the second part of that, which just went live last Friday. So if you'd like to check that out, please go to midnightfreemasons.org. And if you like what you see there, please check out the Working Tools magazine, which is the largest independently operated Masonic magazine in America. It's a great magazine. There are several options for you to get it, either digitally, through the newsstand, or actually in print, or even just PDFs. So check that out if you go to twtmag.com. Also, check out the themasonicroundtable.com, which is a new Masonic podcast / video show that we do on Tuesday nights at 10/9 Central. It features, of course, I'm on the show, as well as Brother Juan Sepulveda of the Winding Stairs. You'll find Jason Richards and John Ruark. You will find Brother Nick Johnson from the MillennialFreemason.com. And I should also mention Brother Jason Richards does have a blog as well called The 2-Foot Ruler, which is excellent. It's called Masonry in Plain Language, something that makes a lot of sense. So if you like this show and you want to hear more, go ahead and I invite you to visit and check out all the cool links and different stuff we've got going on WCYpodcast.com. That's it for this week. We'll talk to you all next time. Stay on the level. For Whence Came You, I'm Robert Johnson.